This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Because we haven't given up on Christ working in us. Let me say it again. We have not given up on Christ working in us and Christ working through us. We have gone months and months without baptizing anybody. But in 2023, every baptism Sunday, we've baptized somebody. It's my prayer, hopefully our prayer, that we will all be excited about folk coming to the Lord being baptized. Sister Anderson came this morning to be baptized. Hallelujah. Come on, thank God, Sister Anderson. And I would call your first name, but just don't want to mess it up. But we thank God for coming and being baptized on today, and we're excited about what God will do in and through her life and through our lives. But we're batting, is it batting 1,000 or batting 100 when you hit all of them? What is it? Well, we'd have made every touchdown we could make. Bat 1,000, all right, because we baptized in January, February, and March. To God be the glory. And listen, there's no reason why we will not be baptizing even more than one every first Sunday in the rest of 2023. Let me say this. We can do this. What would happen if we all work together to reach those who don't know Christ to come to know him? What would happen if each one of us took the ministry of reconciliation personally and did our part to persuade others to come to know Christ? It's not easy because it's not what we're used to doing. We're used to persuading people, but not necessarily persuading others to be saved. Or we persuade people every day to do the stuff that we want them to do. But how many times do we spend our time and our energy persuading others to become disciples, to become who God wants them to be? It's just human nature. And I want you to know it will become more difficult before it gets easier. The devil will block your every effort to get this ministry right. I want you to know, how many of you experienced that when you started doing the right thing? You've been doing the wrong stuff for so long, but just when you decided to do what's right, it seemed like everything came your way and against you. That's just life. He'll do everything, but let me let you know this. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Former mayor and past director of Youth Futures, Dr. Otis Johnson, shared with me the stages of formation of a group. He appointed me to be over, when he was mayor, he appointed me to be over a group of business, black businessmen, and he was trying his best to pull them together. And he just put the preacher right in the midst of that. Praise God. And then when I was getting a little discouraged about it wasn't coming together, he shared with me a model that was really first proposed by Bruce Tuckman in 1965. And this model was, when you're doing group development, it's called forming, storming, norming, then performing. Those are the stages you go through whenever you are forming a new organization. And he said, these phases, a team will have to literally go through. You have to do that. And I begin to think about, since we're talking about a new you, when we talk about believing and following Christ, when we talk about kind of transforming the way we've been thinking and seeing more about what God would have us do, to start a new you in this new year, what's happening in our lives. And I can tell you, since the beginning of 2023, in urging us to personally take on the ministry of reconciliation, these stages seem to show up. I want you to be encouraged. Even on a human level, we can see things will get better. It may seem to be at its very worst, but trusting God, we know it can and will get better, even by the human standards of forming, storming, norming, and then performing. There have been already a number of deaths connected with our church family. There have been heated debates over where we're going as a church. There have been backbiting. There's been anger. There's been resentment. There's been trials. There's been tribulation. And my response as pastor is, praise God. Hallelujah. The devil doesn't like spiritual progress, and we're moving in a direction where God will get the glory. We have been called to persuade others to a ministry of reconciliation, and we can do this. 2 Corinthians 5:11 states, this whole verse says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what are we? But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. But what are we? What are we? We are ambassadors for Christ with a ministry and a message of reconciliation. And it's not coming easy. We have to fight for it. Are you willing to fight for the cause of Christ? Are you willing to do what God is calling us to do in such a time as this? Are we willing to stand up to a world that's against Christ and begin to let them see that if Christ be for us, no one can be against us? 2 Corinthians 5:11 again. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. You know, whenever we see therefore, we have to look, what's his therefore? So we go back to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, and it reads, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And you go on down to verse 10, which is the verse right before verse 11, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Wait a minute. So it says, so therefore we have this ministry. Well, what comes before that? He's letting us know that all of us gonna die. A physical death. Of course, that's if the Lord doesn't come back first. And we know we're in the last days, he could come back any second. But if he doesn't come back first, we all gonna die. I said, we all going to die. It reminds me of the very first homegoing that I did, very first funeral that I did here at First African Baptist Church. I'll never forget it. I was here and I had to do the eulogy. The first one I didn't have to do the eulogy, but the second one I had to actually do the eulogy and do everything. And I remember preaching and doing the eulogy. I remember doing that, doing the best I could at that. You know, the family said, Pastor, good job and all this. And I went through everything, went with the family beforehand, went to the cemetery. I was at the cemetery and, you know, really trying to figure out what to do and everything. So I had my little black book and I, you know, read for as much as it pleased Almighty God. Take out this world, soul of out of seats, supposed to be therefore committed body to God. I went through all that. And when that was over with, when I finished that particular ordeal, I said, phew, oh, I got through that. Oh my goodness. And as I was leaving the cemetery, the funeral director said, Pastor, see you next time. And I said, you mean I got to do this again? And when I think about it, for every last one of us, we don't know who, we don't know when, we don't know how, but we know that we all have to leave here. So he starts this off, letting us know about the ministry we have. He starts it off with letting us know. He's very clear with us. He says, for you know that this tent, this tabernacle, this body in which we live, but you know when it is destroyed, we do have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He warns us, but he also encourages us that we will have life everlasting. Matthew 10, 28 tells us this. When we're talking about, we're not going to talk to people about Christ because we don't want to offend them. We don't want folk to get mad with us and all this. We want to please man rather than please God. But Matthew 10, 28 helps us with this. It says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. If you're going to fear somebody, fear God. Have the utmost reverence for God. Trust God. We can do this. In 2 Corinthians 5:11, again, it says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. I know what you're asking. How do we persuade others to become who God wants them to become? How do we persuade others to live for Christ? How do we persuade others to choose life over death? How do we persuade others to get their life right with God? 2 Corinthians 5:14-15 helps us. It says, for the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who might live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Yeah, Paul tells in Colossians 3:17, he says, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You're not doing it because it comes easy to you. No, no, no. We're doing it because he who lives in you controls you and urges you to do things his way. You have Christ living in us to guide us. 2 Corinthians again, 5:14-15. For the love of Christ controls us, constrains us, urges us, motivates us. The love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, and therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live, that's us, might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. We can do this. We can no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Christ. What does that mean? That means our life becomes a life of sacrifice, not a life of convenience. It's a life of sacrifice, not a life of convenience. We have to begin to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. We know it's his will that none should perish. It's his will that none should perish. Shouldn't that be our will too? And if that becomes your will and your desire to help those who don't know Christ come to know Christ, you need to begin to look for opposition. Begin to look for conflict. Begin to look for hard times in your life. Yeah. If you're not on a collision course with Satan, that means you and Satan go in the same direction. Look for the confusion. Look for it to happen. How many of us have really suffered so others can come to know Jesus? How many of us have actually suffered so folk can come to know Jesus? Second Corinthians chapter 6. 3 through 10 talks us about our ministry. It says, Paul was saying, we put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as imposters, and yet we are true. As unknown, and yet well known. As dying, and behold, we live. As punished, and yet not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing everything. I know we wouldn't rejoice in this, but there were those who were being beat for the cause of Christ. And now we get upset if somebody just talk about us. Make a post against us. No. No. We have to be able to go through whatever we go through so Christ can get the glory. We have to do it so God can get the glory. What are you willing to go through so God's will can be done in your life? What are you willing to go through? What are you willing to put up with? How much patience do you have and can absorb and show others in the midst of folk getting you upset and mad? Oh yes, thank you, Minister Bolger. I learned how to live holy. I learned how to hear right. I learned how to suffer. Yeah, we're going to learn. And we're going to learn, if you put yourself in a place that you want to do what Christ wants you to do, you're going to suffer. But you will gain eternal life. When I see Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:11 again. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others we can do this. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 5, 20, 21. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God for our sake. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I'm done. He says, God making his appeal to us. Do you realize that God has chosen you and God has chosen me to speak through us to folk that don't know him? You know, I used to try and tell folk, members of First Happened years ago, they say, I should tell people, don't go certain places. You know, y'all shouldn't go to clubs. Y'all shouldn't go to pick up this kind of stuff. You know, don't do this. Don't do this kind of stuff. I say all the kind of stuff. God showed me to listen. They're my people, not yours. Amen. Amen. Tillman can only see some of what you do some of the time. God sees what you do all the time. Yeah. But note this. Out of all the mess we all have done, he still loves us. And he cares about your eternity. So he's given us this message of reconciliation. And notice in verse 10 when it says we're going to be judged for what we've done in our body. That's not talking about your salvation. It's talking about the eternal rewards you get once you leave here. And God wants to reward every last one of us for doing his work and his will once we are saved. We have a ministry to talk to other folk about Christ, even if they think we're the lowliest thing on planet Earth. They may think very lowly of you, but you need to let them know you serve a God who loved you and loved them in spite of what they think. Okay, I know somebody saying, Pastor, you got to give me an example of that, because you know, everybody in the Bible, they're so holy. You know, you keep talking about people who are holy. Paul, you know, Paul's sacrifice and all this kind of stuff, and Peter and all them. You talking about all these people, and people came to Christ because they lived such a perfect life. All right, hold on. Pause for a second. John chapter 4. There's a woman at a well. She was at a well in the heat of the day because of a number of reasons. One of the main reasons why she's at the well by herself as a woman is because the other women ain't like her. And the women were already despised in society. So women were already second-class citizens, and now even other second-class citizens don't want her. But on top of that, she's a Samaritan, and Jesus shows up at a well, a Jew, he shows up at a well, and when he's there, he asks her for water, and she said, wait a minute, you know that the Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans. So wait a minute, here is a woman who's despised because she's Samaritan, she's despised because she's a woman, and now she's despised because even other women don't like her. You can't get much lower than that. You know, the despised race, despised gender, despised people of the same gender, don't like her, don't want to get along with her. Nobody paying any attention to her because she is considered the worst of the worst. But this woman heard a message from Jesus. She said, how can you ask me to give you something to drink and you are a Jew and y'all have nothing to do with us? He said, if you knew who it was asking you to give me something to drink, you would ask me to give you something because I can give you living water. You'll never thirst again. Now, I can see on a physical level, she was thinking, okay, wait a minute. I sure don't like coming up here to this well in the heat of the day. So if he got some living water, if he knows a plumber that can come and get water in my house, I want to hear this good news. And she was excited to hear what he said, and he told her about worship. And y'all, we're going to be studying about worship. He told her about worship. And once she heard that and she understood that it was the truth and it was the Messiah, it was the one that they were looking to come, it was the Christ, it was the anointed one. When she heard the words that he said and he was able to tell her about herself, she realized that this was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And she left her water pot. She left the stuff of which was more important to her. She left the job that she had. She left what she was there to do. She put everything down and she ran into a city of people who didn't like her. People wouldn't talk to her. People who despised her. She ran into a city and told them, come see a man who told me everything. That's all I'm saying for you. Just go and tell them, come see a man. Come see a man who helped me in my problems. Come see a man who helped me through my sickness. Come see a man who helped me through everything I'm going through. Come see a man that brought me peace when I didn't have peace. Come see a man that brought me joy when I was sad. Come see a man who could do whatever I needed done in my life. Come see a man who helps me in the midst of what I'm going through right now. Come see a man. The Bible says that the whole town came. And they asked Jesus to stay and they believed. Now listen, don't expect folk to give you credit. When you come and you have them to come to know Christ and their life changed. Because when this woman talked to the whole city, they had the nerve to go back to the woman and say this. Say, oh yeah, we believe. We now got Christ. Not because of you. But we believe because we heard it for ourselves. Well, how in the world would you hear for yourself if it wasn't for her? And there's some people that want to hear Christ for themselves, but they need you. They need me.
to be the catalyst to make sure that they come to know that God loves them. That God loves them so much that he sent his son to 42 generations. He needs somebody to go and tell them that Christ came, lived on this earth, went about doing good. Out of all the good he did, folk talked about him, ridiculed him, called him everything but a child of God. What we can tell folk is the good news. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Somebody say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. You didn't take me out in the midst of my sin, but you allowed your son to live on this earth. You allowed him to go through all sort of stuff. You allowed him to go from judgment hall to judgment hall. You allowed him to put nails in his hands and nails in his feet with a crown of thorns on his head. You allowed him to die for all of my sins. He lived a perfect life. And the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died. He died. He died. But the story doesn't stop there. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday. Stayed there all day Saturday. Stayed there all night Saturday night. But I got to thank God. I got to say hallelujah. Because it was early. I said early. On that Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Power over the grave. Victory over death. He has power. Power. Wonder-working power. It's in the blood of the Lamb. That's power, power, wonder-working power. Do you want that power? Do you need that power? His power is available. His power is available. His power is there for you. His power is there for me. I just got to tell the Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for making a way out of no way. Thank you for being my bridge over troubled water. Thank you. 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 In everything. Give thanks in everything. Give thanks no matter what you're going through. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Glory to your name. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, makes my soul cry out. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. If God brought you to it, he'll sure enough bring you through it. He's worthy, I tell you. He's worthy, I tell you. Thank you, God. What a mighty God. He rose from the grave. He ascended into heaven. And he sent the Holy Spirit to live in us. My brother, my sister, if you've accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. If you've accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And now you're going to work, not in order to be saved, but because you are saved. If you're watching and you're here on today and you have a desire to accept Christ into your life, we'll give you an opportunity right now to walk down the aisles. You walk down the aisles and share with us on today to accept Christ into your life. Maybe others who've already accepted Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Looking for a church home. We'd love to have you with First African Baptist Church. If you're online, go ahead and type the word save. If you're accepting Christ right now, we're going to pray a prayer with you. And wherever you are, you can pray this prayer to have Christ in your life. Wherever you are, God loves you. The Bible says, if you shall confess your mouth to the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, God is raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Here's the prayer we're going to pray to accept him into your life. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, let us know. If you're in the building and you want to come forward to accept Christ, just come right on. We're not going to hug you and all that kind of stuff because we're keeping our distance. Ministers, y'all hear that, right? I know we're excited. Don't be grabbing them people, all right? If you come down, we really want to hug you. We really do. But we're going to do our best not to hug you. But we want you to come forward if you want to accept Christ. And if you already have a church home and would like to unite in fellowship with First African Baptist Church, won't you come? Yeah, that's Reverend George. He's coming to Jesus, amen. Don't hug him. Just take him in the church. Amen. We will have baptism on the first Sunday in April. Want you to know that we have first baptism first Sunday in April. Won't you come today? If you're online again, type the word saved, and we'll do what we can to make sure we reach out to you and that you come to know Christ. Won't you come? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. After the benediction, we're asking you to please just remain seated. The ushers will escort you to the time to come to your pew. Again, thank you for worshiping with us on today at First African Baptist Church. God bless, continue. Every last one of us, let us pray. God, we thank you for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, our hearts have felt. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for constantly making a way out of no way and being our bridge over troubled waters. Now, God, help us to do the work you've called us to do. We can do this. Use us, God, in a mighty way with this ministry of reconciliation to win the lost for you, God. We can do this. So guide us, direct us, use us, bless us that we can bless others. And now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit would rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let the people of God say amen and praise God.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.